It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's Unrivaled welcomes you to the Players Club, sponsored by UCCU.
Blue one!
Tuesday nights at 7, Utah defensive lineman Devin Kaposi joins KSL for an insider look at the Utah Utes football team. Join Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey in the Unrivaled Players Club on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It is the Players Club right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell.
Favorite time of the week.
Favorite time of the week.
I absolutely love this.
We have a ton of fun bringing these players in on with us. And we had, of course, Jaren Hall, BYU quarterback last night. Devin Kaposi, defensive tackle for the University of Utah, as always. Are you getting sick of this yet? Are you getting sick of this radio gig, man?
Not at all.
Sick.
Like I said, best. What's better than this? This guy's being dudes,
yes.
Talking football. Yeah.
Guys being dudes.
Guys,
Scott,
being dudes.
You know what?
What's better than this?
Show change. Show name change. Guys being dudes.
Exactly. Hey, we're going to have Tide Pods, too.
That's like Gronk shows up. He's like, yay. Well, we're glad to have you back again for another week. This is so much fun for us. And so let's jump into with you guys had the vigil for Aaron Lowe last week. Mm-hmm. And then you get the news that they make an arrest. And I mean, it must have been a relief. I mean, how did you guys react? I mean, that was my thought was good, awesome. I'm glad they figured it out. I'm glad they're doing something about it. And I know it's all allegations right now, but at the same time, it's like, hey, man, that kind of news is the kind of stuff that it's got to make the whole team feel a little bit better about the situation.
Yeah, for sure there's some relief because, you know, just in the matter of the senseless act and everything. So just a relief for the community and for the team and everyone just, you know, feeling more safe knowing that the police department's doing a great job and
they do,
handling
yeah.
it all. And so
it's awesome.
Yeah.
The bye week's over. You know, you've kind of been dealing with this and had some time to absorb the tragedy that's happened. How has the focus been this week going into now you're playing an opponent?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we showed up today for practice and not just any opponent, but we have USC. And down there at USC, and Utah has never won down there, and it's known just saying, hey, we're 1-0 now. We still got a conference championship to go for, and you know, for us to get there, we need a win down there at USC.
Would you guys like an interesting fact?
Yeah, I'd love
Speaking
it.
Speaking of 1-0 in the conference,
mm-hmm.
there are three teams in the conference, in the Pac-12, that do not have
a loss.
A loss.
That is wild.
And Utah is one of them.
1-0, yeah, just like 1-0. You were saying, right?
Yeah. We talked about, Coach Witt mentioned that at the end of practice, like as crazy as it seems, of a rough of a start that we've had, everything is still out there on the table for
everything.
Us.
Everything.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a wild year in college football overall. All this weekend has been like, I can't believe everybody is losing. Like, it's just this upset city. I wonder if there's just a little bit of that aspect of last year was so weird. Things were so different. I mean, we're used to like a prescribed way of how the college football season goes. Usually this time of year, it's like Alabama. Well, that hasn't changed. Alabama number one, number two, Oklahoma, number three, Ohio State, number four, Georgia. It's like some version of that. Mm-hmm. We only have two of those teams that are uh-huh. Alabama.
Clemson's not in the top 25.
Clemson's bad. I watched that
game. 25.
I just think about how wild it can be where you are a team who is like on the national championship page every week. And then Dabo Swinney, after that game when they, first of all, should have lost to Boston College. I'm watching that game, and they fumbled on a snap, you know, when they're about to go in and score. Clemson did not look like the Clemson team. And at the end, Dabo Swinney goes, oh, I've always known it. This team's so resilient. I'm going, this guy is spinning plates. This is a guy who's used to winning every game. They're barely 3-2. And I just think, you know, college football this year is just wild. Like, the possibilities of upsets, it's happening every week. Everybody's losing. We saw Oregon this week lose a wild one. Yep. Did you watch that game?
I did.
And then you think to yourself, yes, it's all on the table now.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Exactly that. All on the table. But you just got to understand, you know, like, oh, like they lost, you know, to Stanford, or we look at, you know, Oregon State, what they did to USC, handled them pretty well. But
and then beat Washington this week.
Beat Washington. And then, but you still got to think, okay, they got some tough losses, you know, some bad losses, honestly. But they're still a team that can come out and put it on. So I think that's the beauty of college football.
Every week it changes.
Every week it changes, and you always look at, you know, it comes down to the preparation of what the team does in that week and just what team shows up on game day.
So how do you do – when you just say your preparation, because you can talk yourself in and out of everything. You know, you could drive yourself crazy going, you know, they lost this week, so we're going to go win, or, boy, they look great this week, we're going to go lose. How do you get all of those distractions – sometimes positive, sometimes negative, out of the way? What do you do that helps you get ready to play?
For me, it's taken some years of learning being a college football player. It's just every day matters. So you can't leave it up to chance. So, you know, Monday's coming in, they're lighter, so to say, but you got to be able to, you know, maximize that Monday. So there's no question that you're like, okay, that Monday was the most solid Monday that I've had up to date in my college preparation. And then you do that on Tuesday. But then you always, the coaches do a good job of, you know, making you feel like it's got to be better. And then you kind of get a little fire going inside because you're kind of mad. You're like, well, that was a good Monday.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's how I feel. I'm like, well, I'm going to show them this Tuesday. Like, I'm going to come around Tuesday and I'm going to say, you know, we're watching the film before we're out of practice. Oh, make sure you do this, just do this. And as a player, sometimes you get frustrated because you're like, oh, I'm doing that. But now it's more clear. Now it's just a good opportunity to be like, yeah, I'm going to show coach this, or so, as a defense as a whole.
Okay, go ahead, Scott.
I was just going to ask. So you have coaches that, like, how they motivate you, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, what does Coach Whitting have? How does he motivate you? Like, does he say, look, we haven't won here forever, or does he, is it a positive way that he motivates you, or does he motivate you by fear, or what? How does he actually motivate you? Or and what motivates
question,
you, right?
Uh-huh.
So, because the reason I asked this, when I played, I wanted my coaches to just be, you just need to talk to me, right? I'm my motor's going 9,000 miles. I don't need to be jazzed up for a game.
Mm-hmm.
I need someone to talk to me real.
Yes.
I don't want to hear that we haven't won at USC. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear it. I don't even want it ever brought up.
Because you don't have to tell you, right? I mean, that's
I don't want negative stuff coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And now other people might go, yeah, I want to hate the world. Like, we're going to go down there. We've never won there. And we're going to figure out how to win there, and we're going to do it. And so I'm just curious how you're motivated. Like how Coach Whittingham motivates, and then what motivates you?
Coach Witt does a great job, and I mean, I think that's the best thing anyone could do, especially as a coaching position, is just believing and trusting you. And so I think, similar to what you said, he's just really real. I mean, that's Kyle Whittingham. Really real.
Yeah.
It's the truth. And you know, if it's coming from what he's saying, he's not beating around the bush.
He's not playing games with you.
So you know, when he says, you're a tough team, I know we can hang together, and we haven't played our best football yet, that's not, you know, just blowing smoke.
Right.
He's absolutely right. So we got to find out this week how we can have our best game of the season.
I would assume some of the younger guys maybe need a little bit more of that motivation. You've been around long enough to go, hey, man, some of that, what Scott's talking about, where it's like all the stuff Coach is going to tell me, it's just going to add on to the things that I already kind of practice, and so sort of that philosophy for mm-hmm. you. So when you see an opponent like this with USC, and do you – I mean, is there a version of, like, getting extra motivated against a team? I mean, it seems weird, but it was like, no, wouldn't you just do it the same way? But for some reason, I can't get it through my head that there would be the same preparation for USC versus, like, you know, an Oregon State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's – I think just week to week, especially looking as a whole, being 1-0 in conference play, it's just being more dialed in. You know, we talk about it's rinse and repeat week in, week out as you go through a season. We always talk about, you know, this is your Super Bowl every week, and don't look past it. I know it's kind of a cliche thing, don't look past it, but this is your Super Bowl. and you got to play your hardest. So rinse and repeat. Coming off a win, I think that's a lot easier to be more dialed in. I think it's a lot more confident and just fired up to say, okay, let's build off that, because winning is the best feeling. It's the best feeling.
It's the only feeling.
it's the only feeling you want. And so,
unfortunately, it's not the only feeling, but it's, but it's the only one that you do want. That's exactly right. Well, let's come back and we'll talk about USC. Devin also is going to reveal some of the things that happened in the bye week, because, you know, you got to be ready on and off the field for anything, okay? So Devin's going to give his tips to getting through a bye week, and maybe some of that love life's going to come up. I don't know. It's just part of the program. So stay right here with us. More to go on the Players Club right here on KSL's Unwrapped.
The Unrivaled Players Club with Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey, and Utah's Devin Kaufusi.
All righty, sports fans, welcome back. It is the KSL Unrivaled Players Club with Devin Kaufusi from the University of Utah, brought to you by UCCU. Love where you bank.
It doesn't get old to hear your own name coming over the airwaves there, does it?
It's really cool, especially coming from you guys. Like, these are the radio voices you hear all the time, and it's your name and tied to the University of Utah, and so it's cool.
Pretty fun.
So when was the first time that you were interviewed, like on TV, like do you remember that? I just remember the first time it happened to me.
Did they put tackles on TV?
Tackles.
Defensive tackles
on
TV?
Ones that can speak, of course. Ones that can speak, yeah.
They put you at the front of the line. They go, hey, will you go rep the team for us?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I'm totally okay with that.
But you don't get nervous about these interviews and stuff.
No, I love talking and interviewing and stuff.
But do you remember the first time?
He
doesn't remember.
I don't
remember.
Well, it's because he's like in high. These guys are high up in high school.
Maybe high school. Exactly. That's what happened to me. I was in high school and we were playing in the state championship, and you're on the news, and they actually interviewed you, and that was like the first time.
I just remember last year actually, after our first game, because it was pandemic season, we got done playing USC. They had me talk, and I was wiped. That was my first game playing as a U and stuff, and I was totally exhausted and banged up. And they just had me sit down in the facility on the stairs in my pads and cleats and talk. And I was so out of it. My mind was ringing and stuff. I was just, you know, the adrenaline was going. And that was probably my worst time talking. Yeah, I remember my first time.
Those are the
first
best
time representing. Yeah, yeah, it was the worst time. And I was
this is the best for us. We're like, look how nervous. Yeah,
started at the bottom,
was.
Though. First time, you know, only up from there. So.
Yeah. That's the way it is. You guys have the preparation going already with USC. Like, let's get to the X's and O's part. I mean, this is – what's weird is you have, like, sets of film that are totally different. This team has been up and down. I mean, you talk about up and down. These guys have been way up and down this year. And you talk about the getting their butts kicked by Oregon State at home a couple of weeks ago and then going on the road and beating up Colorado, which I think a lot of people kind of saw that coming. But they've done it with a couple different quarterbacks too, Keaton Slovis and then Jackson Dart, you know, here local kid, a freshman. So what do you anticipate from USC down in LA this week? What do you expect out of this team? What have you seen on film that you go, I think we can attack that?
For sure, Slovis being a great quarterback, and so he's always just to sit in the pocket and deliver, you know, some really good throws. They showed, you know, really kind of vanilla formation stuff, not a lot of shifts or motions or anything. They got athletes as receivers, and
they're just going to beat you straight up.
Keep it simple and, you know, let the players play. So that's, you know, that's USC from an offense standpoint, you know, Slovis and the talents they have out as wideouts and everything. So yeah, just simple, keep it simple.
You know, there's something about that like a lot of the really good teams will do that, you know, and they just say, we have athletes, we don't want to confuse them, we don't want to complicate it, we want them just to let them play, let them do their thing. But a lot of times it really gives you, I think, an opportunity to, like, you know what's coming.
And
it almost gives you a way to anticipate. And if you go into a game with that confidence and with that ability to, you know, say, hey, this is what's going to happen, and I'm ready for it, and I can stop it. They've shown an ability to run the football as well. Mm-hmm. They did against Colorado. What are some of the challenges with the run game that you're looking at?
I think as they're able to show that same, you know, formations and stuff, but they're able to do different things out of it. So you can't get caught thinking, oh, it's been very vanilla. They always run, you know, this play out of this formation.
Right.
You know, but they actually run, you know, the other way coming in that same formation. So you just got to play, be able to be disciplined and stuff. As much as you want to, you know, trust your read, your pre-snap read and everything, just play your technique. Play your technique, play your gap.
So how much of the formation do you read? I mean, when you're in the inside there, like how much do you see and do you read?
It's hard to see strengths and it's hard to see shifts. You know,
it's hard to see. You know what? The biggest thing I try to, you know, decipher before the ball snap is this run or pass. And that is, you know, that's just one thing, but that's.
That's like the biggest thing.
The biggest thing.
You eliminate 50%.
You eliminate 50% of, you know, technique or reading and stuff. And so that's why, you know, it's awesome when you get a team in third and long. Oh, pass, and then you're able to, you know, gear up and tee off.
Or you get a team where you score a lot of points and you stop them from running the football, and then they go, the only way back
is to start
the playbook, and so it's just, we got to throw.
Yeah.
Interesting. So as you get ready for, you know, this week is always a different preparation. I think for the fans in their heads, they're going, this is USC, haven't won in L.A. You guys don't need to be told that. Everybody seems to be, you know, talking about it for you, but when you get ready for this game and you sit down and you watch film with your teammates, what are you guys talking about with this game and the importance of this thing and inside the locker room or inside those practices, what is it that you guys are focusing on?
For us, we just focus on what our goal is, and that's, of course, the Pac-12 championship. And kind of mentioned, you know, these guys are in the way of that. So we need to handle these guys. You know, anyone that comes in the way of that, you know, you got to be able to play with that little fire or chip on your shoulder saying, like, you're being disrespected. So, SC, you know, we're 1-0 in conference play. We won a conference championship. They're in our way. So, we're coming to play. So, that's just kind of the mentality and you know, in the locker room. And then, you know, we take that out on field in between the lines and just tighten up and dial in on defense.
How much of an advantage is playing a game like this after a bye week?
Oh, I think it's you want it to be an advantage with the bye week. Coach Witt mentioned that, saying you got to watch film or else this bye week is an advantage. You know, we've been given this bye week for this big game. Get healthier, you know, take all your off field issues, so schooling stuff, get on top of that, and watch film. So just, you know, it'd just be a shame if you didn't do something to make that bye week become an advantage.
How do you take care of school?
Yeah, all this. It was interesting. We were asking Jaren about it earlier in the week, and it was I take only online classes. I mean, a lot of setup now is that there are a lot of only online options for some of these. So do you guys take advantage of that and go, look, it means I don't need to go to campus every 2 seconds to try to get to my classes. Has that been an advantage for you now that as a student athlete to try to do that?
Yeah, it's – well, at first, I loved going to class. I loved going to class and, you know –
That's a college experience.
Yeah, I love the college experience. I love meeting new friends and stuff and everything. And so I thought I was going to struggle really bad. And I did at first, everything online. But then you know, I was able to be able to make it work for me in football as well. So I actually love my online classes, doing it from home, being able to get it done on my own time.
So do you do that now then?
Yeah, I got one in-person class I go to during the week and stuff. But everything else is online for my computer.
When it's the off season, do you go back to more classes at school, or is part of it to, I would think, to kind of protect yourself from, you know, being exposed to who knows what? But
yeah, so COVID,
I think it's kind of a smart thing, actually.
Yeah, COVID. Yeah, it's all been online, really. So yeah, I've been here for almost 2 years now.
Do you need someone to talk to? I mean, we know how to talk.
That's our therapy here, man.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Just tell them this is basically your internship. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Let's just go. Look, do you guys give me my lab score on that communications class? Let's make it my time on the
dream internship
every week.
For sure.
I just trying to think like how these athletes do it. I mean, Jaren made fun of the fact that he goes, look, I'm not going to business classes here, so it's a lot easier for me to do the online thing. But I mean, the balance, you know, they've told us a million times, the PR guys and the SIDs of these schools are like, these are student athletes, please refer to them as student athletes first. And you go, okay, but we're here to report on the athlete part, you know. And so it's the balance seems wild. On top of it, see where I'm going here? there's the other part you have to balance out. The old personal. We're gonna bring up the situationship. Is that what it was? It wasn't a relationship.
Yeah,
it was a situationship. Yep. We're gonna bring it up when we come back.
It's the thing.
I'm basically going to tell my wife we're in a situationship just because it's fun.
Alex, don't do
that. Oh, don't do that? Okay.
No.
Uh-huh. It's not the same. No. All right, we'll come back. We've got more to go. Devin Cafusi, part of the Players Club every week right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Stay with us. It's KSL News Radio.
KSL's Unrivaled welcomes you to the Players Club, sponsored by UCCU.
Blue one!
Tuesday nights at 7, Utah defensive lineman Devin Cafusi joins KSL for an insider look at the Utah Utes football team. Join Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey in the Unrivaled Players Club on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Players Club right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Carey, Scott Mitchell, Devin Cafusi from the University of Utah. I know football season, you got to focus a lot on the football part.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into your personal life, because you've allowed us to dive into that,
yes.
It's fun because it's like, look, we're just having a discussion here.
Well, you're going to have kids that are, and I have kids this. That,
yes, uh-huh. I know. This is interesting. This is just as much an education for us as it is for, you know, for you. You're like, oh, I love doing the radio stuff. We're like, I got to get in the head of a 20-something, you know, in college in 2021 so I can figure out what's going on. Before all that, though, we talked about like the balance of everything, trying to like, you know, you're like, I don't really follow the news, you know? And so what about the Jazz, though? Because like the Utah Jazz, I've started up their season. Obviously, they're starting to have games on KSL radio now, and it's fun because we're getting into basketball season. We tend to go, oh, no, I don't even pay attention until the end of football season. But no such luxury this year. We're going to be diving into the Jazz. But do you as players, do you have teams you follow? And are you a fan of teams that, like, I got to watch this game? Obviously, you have brothers in the league. I mean, on top of that, do you follow teams like and go, I got to see what they're doing, even though I've got my own thing going on here?
Yeah, for sure. For me, being this age and been playing college football, I have a lot of friends that you meet and have these friendships that play in other colleges. So this bye week was nice. I was able to watch all their games where my friends are. So I mentioned I watched the Stanford game. I have a cousin and my best friend's over there. So it was really fun to watch Stanford and their big win. Watching BYU all the time with family over there and some old friends there. And so
Stanford's funny. They got like a bunch of either Utah connections, of LDS guys. Like Dave.
Well, David Shaw has told us he loves kids from Utah. He feels like they're, and he loves smart kids too.
My brothers, they're that close. All the Cafusis would have been over there.
Oh,
like that's what it almost was. Yeah,
And that's a temptation.
I got recruited by Stanford when I was, and I seriously considered. I really did.
I don't know why. Amazing. The only
you
thing
don't
is,
know why you'd go to Stanford.
But no. It's not about I don't know why. The thing is like I don't know why you wouldn't go to Stanford.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
In my mind, I'm like that's a lot.
That's the hard argument. Is my friends I've gone there or family and stuff is like, oh, like why do you want to go there? And it's like, it's Stanford.
But let me give you an argument why it wouldn't be.
Go on.
Because I was watching. I'm watching the game and I go, what an amazing upset. 17 dozen people got to see it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, they're like nobody in the stadium. I'm like, who are these kids, man?
But all the students are watching the Olympic sports.
Oh, so they're like, I'm at the rolling.
They're studying. My buddy there said they call it the library. And it's either because all the kids are at the library and not at the game,
right?
Or it's as quiet as the library.
Right. So, yeah, that's exactly that's right.
They don't know how to act in it.
So who's your cousin?
My cousin, Tongaloa Cafusi, he's over there.
That's right.
And my best friend, Gabe Reed, is over there. And then
Gabe Reed.
Yeah, and Gabe's little brother, Karene, had the killer game last year.
And I think there's a Hamuli there.
Yeah, Houston's
the
over there.
Houston plays.
Houston's over there.
How
and,
much do
Mooney.
Yeah, yeah.
How much do you get to talk to these guys during the season?
Oh, I talk to Gabe.
You talk to him?
Weekly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that helpful to you? What kind of conversations do you have, or is it just kind of, is it more like a buddy conversation?
More like a buddy. It's fun. It's fun though. Like I'm watching SC film and I see him and I'll send him a photo and be like, I'm watching you go against SC and stuff. And,
but do you talk to him and say, hey, you know, what are they like?
What are you seeing?
Yeah, for sure. It's like that. It's like, hey, how was that game? Or how was this guy on the matchup if he had, went up against the same.
See, that's good stuff. So. That is, I love that stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's not cheating though, Scott. Is it cheating?
No. It's just gathering intelligence. Like these are friendly. Stanford would probably want. I don't know that they care because they're in
they'll do their own thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious. Like, what is it about some of these stadiums? Because because the Coliseum, which I think is an amazing place to play, it has so much history. It's just it's such an iconic place. What is it about some of these stadiums that makes it challenging to actually play in, or it, the optics of it, or for whatever reason, it's a good game or a bad game, or what plays into that for you? Do you ever experience that? Is there just places you hate to play?
Like even traveling to like yeah. Just a, so like for
me,
getting there.
For me, the hardest part is traveling. I think not letting that.
So it's just the traveling part.
So traveling, whether it you know makes you tired or kind of sore on the flight or. I get sinus problems when I fly and stuff, so I'm up land and I'm taking sinus medicine and stuff and just trying to feel right for the game and everything. So traveling, I'd say more of the traveling. Definitely when you go to play in certain places that are just, you know, whether they're flat out crazy or with the fans or even just, you know, the elements playing somewhere.
Well, USC is like... It's south of downtown Los Angeles. It's a it's major.
I've never been, so right. I'm excited. Oh, I've never been to the
right.
Coliseum.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited. But yeah, like you said, I talked to, you know, this weekend, families, friends. They're coming over, and I'm like, yeah, we go down to see the Coliseum. And everyone has some type of story with the Coliseum. Yeah. He's telling me we saw Steve Young play there preseason and stuff. Or I got buddies down there that are like big Rams fans, and they went to the Rams games when the Rams were playing there. Yeah. And so. Yeah, I think it's really cool to go and check out these historical kind of known stadiums.
They've had tons Olympics there. They've had the World Series. They had the very first Super Bowl.
It's expansive in there. It's a massive place. Yeah. You get in there and it's just as like...
Seen on TV. I'm excited. I'm excited to go check it out. So.
And the field, immaculate.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, like the grass even understands the significance of this place.
All the snow.
It stands at attention. You know,
the Rose Bowl's a little bit like it in the sense of it being like the field's always dialed up. Yeah. You played at the Rose Bowl.
I have not.
No, I'm trying to think of times you would have played at the I guess BYU played at the Rose Bowl. Like it was probably more five
similar
years ago
place.
Than it was.
Yeah. Yep. Field at the Rose Bowl. Yeah,
and it's a huge place, and it's also not going to be filled. But I would be hard pressed. I would be looking at the sideline looking for those celebrities, though. Like honestly, I would go to those games and be like, ooh.
Yeah, they kind of had the celebrities.
Like growing up, that's where I fell in love with college football.
What do you mean they had to boot the celebrities?
Yeah, that's how Reggie Bush got into all that trouble.
Oh, that's right. I've seen the whole 30 for 30. You know, the SC team, and that's when I fell in love with college football and stuff. Will Ferrell walking the team out and stuff. And everything.
Yeah, Pete Carroll loved that Hollywood situation. And then he's all,
got recruits and stuff, it says.
Yes. So. He's all, you guys deal with the repercussions of breaking all these rules with these celebrities.
See,
and
at BYU, it's Donnie and Marie at BYU, the Osmonds.
Because I've definitely been at the stadium and like when sometimes.
Some apostles.
When the general authorities roll up and you're like, oh my goodness, look who's over here. Oh, look at this. So I look at that and go, this is kind of a different type of a hype when you go to the Coliseum. In terms of places, I mean, again, because this is your first time. I mean, you've played college football for a while, but it's your first time traveling through the Pac-12 South. I look at a game like this, and do you look at it and say, personally, man, I want to have a game because I know everybody's going to be watching because more eyeballs are automatically on that USC game.
Oh, yeah. You always just want to – everyone wants to always have a game. My brother always talks about, like, hey, like, just so you know, like, make sure you find out the guy you're going against. If he's, like, a top draft prospect, make sure you have a game against that guy because eyes are on that draft prospect. And if you handle his butt,
right.
Scouts are like, who is this kid that handled this guy that's supposed to be the top dog? And so, that stuff's always fun to think about.
A lot of guys get drafted that way.
A lot of guys get drafted that way.
Because they really do.
It's like a mini version of the senior
bowl.
They're
looking at someone. Yep. Yeah, and they're looking at someone and they go, who this guy keeps showing up on film, you know, it's like, who is this guy? And they do a lot off of film when they recruit guys.
Well, I keep telling you we're gonna get to it. We're gonna get to Devin's personal life a little bit more.
Oh, yes.
He's kind of keeping us surprised of now we're invested. We're invested
well, of course.
We're
inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah, listen.
We could bring in Chris Hansen. He's the Bachelor host, right? And he's going to come in.
Bring him in and go, let's see if there's some ladies.
Our most dramatic rose ceremony ever.
Yeah. No, this is one you don't want to miss. All right, we'll come back. More to go. KSL's Unrivaled, the Players Club, wrapping things up next with Devin Kaufusi next on KSL's Unrivaled.
The Unrivaled Players Club with Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey, and Utah's Devin Kaufusi.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back. It is KSL Unrivaled Players Club with Devin Cafusi, brought to you by UCCU. Love where you bank. I'm Scott Mitchell. He's Alex Geary. And the show goes on. So I got to ask you a question.
Yes.
You talk about you change positions, you bulk up, right?
Uh-huh.
And Alex and I have this thing about food. Mm. We have a love relationship.
He knows this.
There's no hate in it at all.
And we made it almost the whole show without bringing food up. But
I know,
here
but
we go.
We have to talk about it, right? Uh-huh. We have to talk about it. How much? What's like the most food you've ever eaten? Have you ever like gone to an all you can eat place? or like one of those challenges? Had you ever watched those shows TV? Like
Man versus Food.
That
was my dream. I wanted that job as a kid.
Would that not be fun?
That guy's done all these interviews. He's like, I hated it. I wish I would have never taken that job. Uh-huh. Like, because he made himself sick for months and months and months. Oh, yeah. They got it. They changed dudes.
Yeah.
They changed guys over.
Because he just couldn't.
I assume he died. No, he did not. But I still was like, I think at some point he was like.
So do you ever do that? Because we like buffets.
Yeah.
We like the word
not anymore, Scott. Not anymore.
Ooh, buffets.
Like, what's the most you've ever eaten in one sitting?
Oh, man. If you throw down, for me, it just depends on the food. There's some food where I feel like I can just put away. It's like.
What is that food?
I can sit down and eat pizza nonstop.
Yeah.
Really?
Pizza is super easy. It's just, I don't even think about it. I'm just picking up another slice and eating and talking.
So what's your favorite pizza?
Tacos. My favorite pizza.
Do you like the pie? You ever eat at the pie?
The pie salt. I just went to, Big Apple. I didn't go to it. My buddies had it at their place, and it was called Big Apple Pizza. That was really good.
Mm.
And it's somewhere up here in Salt Lake.
Yeah. You can get some good options up here for sure. Oh, man.
So, like, do you take a date to?
Oh, here we go. Okay. Now this is what we're talking about. I'm just going to keep people apprised of what's going on. Yeah. So Devin informed us at the beginning of the year he had a
situationship.
I just got out of, yeah.
And now you've just gotten out of the situationship.
Yes.
And so I don't want to look back on the situationship. Uh-huh. I want to look forward.
Well, yes. I want to know who got out of it. Was it you or her?
That's why it's a situationship. It was back
and forth. It's
a little complicated.
So
yeah.
Just, oh, okay.
Even one breaking up with one, and then another time the other one's breaking up with the other one.
But that's being in a situation.
Okay. That's being in a situation.
How much does? Because I feel like Sister Cafusi would be like, and your dad. I feel like Steve would be. Well, no, I feel like he'd be a little bit more hands off. Like, how's everything going?
Uh-huh.
But I feel like Mom wants to get like she wants her boy to find just a perfect sweetheart for you. Does she get involved in your personal life and your dating life?
Not that much. I mean, she set the bar high, being a good woman example in my life. It's always funny when I'm dating a girl and they get to the point where I come introduce her to the family.
Oh boy!
And
how many times has that happened? Only a couple times,
but it's always same with my brothers. It's always the height gets brought up.
Because they're never going to be as tall. They're never going to be as tall as your mom.
So Bronson and his wife, Hillary, she's a 6'1", college soccer player.
Yes.
And so, you know, their kids are going to be athletes. You know, so
I've become
a shorter girl. They go, you want Bronson's kids to bully your kids your whole life? And they're all
that's good stuff.
So it's like,
they're working on you.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
See, keep the genes going. And
that's hilarious.
That's always thought about. But honestly, when it comes into it, you know, they, of course, like any parent wants someone that makes them happy. And
you that, but they want the height.
It's a tall girl. A tall girl does come. Oh, it's known. It's impressed. My dad. Yeah. Wow, she is so tall.
Wow, yeah, she's very tall.
If you guys have kids.
What do you think she is in heels? Like 6'3", maybe?
Yeah.
Yep. So you're out of the situationship.
Yep.
You're in the market, right?
Yep.
So you're dating.
Yeah, but he only focuses on football right now, right?
Well, it's a bye week. Yeah. No, he had some time
off. Week.
He had balance in his life.
Hence the haircut and the cleanup.
Right.
And the,
so how do you, where do you go to, like, how do people date in college these days?
Oh, it's, I don't know how, as a student athlete, it's already
impossible.
It is and stuff. And so, but you know, I'm,
well, why is it impossible? Just the time constraint?
Yeah. Then once you get out the time part, you're exhausted.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're just tired.
And then tired, yeah. And so, but I still think, you know, it's really good and healthy for me to go out and socialize, being around a bunch of dudes the whole time and stuff. And
yeah.
I'm always like, I got to get out here. I need a female presence in my life to balance me out. And well,
so where do you go? What did, I just is do it, something. Is it online stuff?
Message on Instagram. I have a really good group of guys that are, all my friends are married or in a serious relationship.
See, that's the thing.
So you got people out.
I got people, you know, setting me up and stuff.
That's the thing. I feel like it's almost like a.
Where do you get your best dates?
Well, no, that's
being set up or.
Well, it depends. Sometimes I'll get set up and it's not a good date.
It's
and I'm
a
like,
flop.
I'm not taking any other setups from you, man.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're on the. But see, that's what I was thinking.
I'm not a good setter upper.
It's almost like a royal family situation where it's like you can't. You can't just go out and be like, oh, I was out at a party and we were hanging out and that's where I saw her across the room. It's more like so-and-so set you up with the Duchess's daughter of, you know, fill in the blank, because that's the only way that it seems, because it is. It's like a family.
All right,
it's like a family thing where they go, and you know, she's tall. Like they do.
No, so
she goes from a tall family.
So when I was at Utah, the backup quarterback was a kid named Paul Barton.
Okay.
And you have heard of the Bartons, right?
Yes.
Cody Barton.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Jackson Barton.
Yes.
And their daughter, Danny.
Yes.
And then the youngest one is...
Even bigger.
Lander.
Right.
Yep.
It's a big deal, right?
Yep.
Paul goes, hey, I'm dating this girl. She's amazing. She's on the volleyball team, and she plays basketball at the U, and she's tall.
Yeah.
What do you think? And I said, man, I wouldn't date her.
Look at you.
Ended up marrying her.
Uh-huh.
And here they are.
Yep.
Turning it down? Is that what you're saying?
No. He asked me what I thought about if he should date
her. Yeah.
And I told him no. And he did.
he did anyway.
So I'm not a good advice person.
don't ask Scott for any of that advice.
But height is a good thing.
Height's a good thing.
Could you imagine, like I said, with Jaron, we're interviewing Jaron during the week, and he's got a baby in the background.
Crying.
I love hearing the baby, by the way. Like, that is honestly, like, I'm like, he goes, oh, she was louder. You know, you go, no, who cares? I love that because that kind of thing kind of humbles you. And so I don't know. I mean, in the end, I try to imagine what it would be like trying to be married during all of this, and it seems like it would be difficult.
Well, it's always, you know, my dad being a coach for years and stuff, and it's always interesting. Guys get married, and, you know, sometimes their game drops off. And
really?
I feel like there's kind of their maybe like a stigma around it, like, okay, he's got married, more on his plate, maybe he softens up and stuff.
Yeah, he's not tough enough anymore.
Not exactly, living the good, easy life, marriage life and stuff. But then, you know, there's also guys that get married and it's just better for them and it gets going. And you only really see that here in the state of Utah, you know, with the culture behind, you know, marrying.
So what do you think it's done for Britton Covey?
Oh, I think it's been the best thing for him.
Has it been good for him?
I think it's been great for him. I love Britton Lee.
I have noticed that he's faster this year. Like,
he's certainly having a year already.
Healthy, faster. And so,
yeah.
Yeah, I love. They're my closest buddies. And yeah.
Does Britton set you up?
His wife does.
There you go.
And has she been a good setter-upper?
Amazing. They've been solid.
There's like a little thing in their apartments that must be this tall to suggest somebody.
It's funny because, you know, Britton's not the tallest guy in the room.
I know.
It's funny being so close to the Cubbies, too. It's like I got another parent's opinion. I go over and show them Steven and Jerry over at Britt's parents, and I get to hear it from them.
Actually,
too,
that's
so.
Like how amazing
advice.
How do
they feel about height?
About height?
Yeah.
I'm sure they don't care. Yeah.
I'm sure
they don't. They don't.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
She's not tall enough for you.
Amazing that you have that. Look, on the one hand, you have all these coaches who are coaching you on the football side of things.
Yep.
And then you have like amazing adult influence.
I really do.
Amazing parents
so
who are like massively accomplished. And then like your friends' parents are like, they'll dip in and give you some advice too on that. So, but just anytime you want to hit Scott and I up too.
I'm not a good. Don't.
We got 11 kids between us.
I'll talk about it.
Like
but
I said,
I won't.
In season, nothing crazy serious. I'm easy going. Like I said, I only got like an hour or two after each evening. So let's go get ice cream. Just something nice and normal and relaxing and
hey,
stuff.
Hey, you know what? Bring them in here after.
Yeah.
Say, I got a little radio show I got to do.
There's actually ice cream here.
There is ice cream here.
Yeah.
It's
free ice cream, too.
We're sending you out the door with ice cream. And here's the other thing. I got to do a radio show. But, hey, they got ice cream. You want to come hang out at KSL for a minute?
Let's do it.
We'll hang out with it. This will be the date spot. We will. And we'll just praise you the whole time. We're the
best
wingmen on
planet Earth. That's what I'm talking about.
We can sift through things,
I can name my kids Alex and everything if it all goes through. And
why not?
And
yeah, yeah. Scott and Alex.
Twin boys. These are my twin boys.
Actually,
Scott and
you know
Alex
what?
Set it up.
A previous show that I had, it was Ethan and Alex. And it was the Night Dive Project. And we totally had a lady who named her twins Ethan and Alex. Boom.
I got named after, or someone named their kid after me.
Yeah, see? Yeah. Yeah, and that's a rare name, well, Scott.
It's Mitchell.
Mitchell out there. Yeah. Devin, this week, hey, number one, always stay healthy.
Yes.
And we want to see you out there playing at your best. So good luck this weekend down at the Coliseum. Good luck with the travel and everything. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to it. We're cheering for you, man.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Pleasure.
We'll be back again next week. Another version of KSL's Unrivaled and the Players Club. We'll be back after news, traffic, and weather. Stay with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled, second hour of the program. Hope that you're able to catch the Players Club, Devin Cafusi, every week right here on KSL's Unrivaled. The Players Club has been a really fun thing for us, and have you noticed that Devin has just kind of owned that space, Scott? That he loves coming in, yeah. And we love
having
him.
Got a great attitude about it. He's open. He's
super
real.
Super open about it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And it's been awesome to get to know these players this year. He and Jaron have been very, very good to kind of let us into their lives. In Jaron's case, I mean, we have somebody at his house every week.
Right.
You know, Dallin shows up and he's got his wife and baby there.
Yeah.
I want the baby crying. And now we're trying to get Devin married. And so, I think we're doing good things here.
Hey, you never know. It could turn into a thing for us.
So, look, send us a text if you've got somebody who's tall. Got to be tall.
They need to be tall.
Got to be tall.
And then they also need to be tall.
And athletic. Yeah.
And then tall again.
Yeah. Look, you got to be a part of the Cafusi family, man. You got to do it. Scott, it's that time of the show. We're gonna jump over to our 8:05 cut here, and we're going to talk a little bit about BYU football as we get going. You're going to be hitting the road with the USC game down at the Coliseum this week. So I wanted to sneak in one more time I could talk BYU with you. So let's go ahead and do it. It's our 8:05 cut here.
The cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED? Sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for an amazing free offer. Scott, I was looking at this game this weekend. I know BYU fans get nervous. Every game is going to get more nerve-wracking, I think, for BYU fans. And it's funny because with the Big 12 opportunity that BYU's found themselves in going into next season, I guess it's 2023, I think attitudes have totally changed. And this year is kind of interesting because you have more upsets happening in college football this year than you've had in a long, long time at the top. And this idea of BYU getting to the college football playoff, I sort of dismiss that because I feel like I need to see more from BYU, but I don't know why. Am I an insane, like insecure guy watching this to think that BYU couldn't get to the college football playoff?
Here's the best thing that's happened to BYU this year. It's last year. They had an amazing year a year ago, and it started with really that first game against Navy, and they got on everybody's radar. I mean, Kurt Herbstreit very early on goes, man, this BYU football team is good. They beat all of those teams that they were supposed to beat. They had the tough game against Coastal Carolina, but it established a foundation, right? And then everyone goes, well, you know what it was. It was the easiness of the schedule. but they already had some discussion. They were a team that was going late into the season. There was a lot of discussion about BYU and where they fit in the college football playoffs.
Them in Cincinnati and that discussion toward the end of the year.
And now you have Cincinnati who's played well. I think that actually helps BYU. But I also think that they came out and they validated in a massive way. I mean, Power 5 knockdown right there for BYU at the beginning of the season just really sent a message to everyone. Wait a minute. It's more than just an easy schedule. Kalani Sitake's got something figured out. And the reality is BYU is a pretty darn good football team. They're a good football team. They've got a lot of talent. I mean, they've done a remarkable job assembling that football team. You don't talk a lot about the defense. Nobody does, but that defense has played well, played tough. They really understand where they fit. So I think the best thing that happened a year ago, but then you have this future affiliation with the Big 12. And what people have said and what they're saying right now is they said, BYU is a Power 5 school. That they've already they've admitted that,
right?
And there's no blowback from this from anyone. There's no, well, you know, the normal blowback you get about BYU, you're not getting any of it. It's like, absolutely, of course you are.
Why not?
You're there. So I don't think BYU has to get over that hurdle. I don't think they have to get over that psychological hurdle. Now, here's how it works out. I mean, this is legitimate stuff here. I'm not saying this. This is real. ASU goes on and has a really good season.
I keep telling people to cheer for all the teams BYU's beaten so far.
I mean,
it's like,
ASU
keep
going. Ends up in the Rose Bowl, or a team like Utah figures it out,
right?
And they really the game is USC. It comes down to the end of the season, I mean, they beat USC at that time, and you got Utah, and you have Arizona State having good years. It's how could you argue against BYU? And again, they would have to go undefeated. I don't see that.
Do you think they could go 11-1 and be a New York Six team at least, maybe?
Oh yeah, that possibly. It depends on where. If the loss is earlier, like, you know, maybe Baylor. Baylor wouldn't be. It's not a bad loss,
right? But then was in the top 25 last week. So.
But you're going to have to beat. You're going to have to beat USC though. I mean, and USC is talented. I mean, they're not. But they're in disarray. You know,
it's a good year to get them.
Last game of the season could be, you know, it could go either way. It could be like, we're out of here, or we're going to really win one for our coach going out kind of thing.
It's interesting to think. I mean, the idea that BYU, now 5-0 and a top 10 team, they're only halfway through the season and they're already at number 10.
Should be in the discussion. If they keep winning.
If they win the next 2 weeks, Boise State and then Baylor, then you've got. I mean, they still have to play Virginia, which is you know, another Power 5 team, and albeit not, you know, it's a two-loss ACC team right now, but it's just another team that would be on that list. It'd be another team on the list. And I think that a double-digit win season for Kalani Sitake would be the biggest thing that has happened to this BYU football program probably since 96. And that's with Bronco's really good years. He's had a couple 11-win seasons, Bronco did, but I think that 96, it might even eclipse that 96 season if they're able to go 10-2 on this schedule.
This could be probably, you could argue, the best season for BYU, period, if that were to happen. I mean, if they go, they have one loss, no losses in this season.
If they get to the college football playoff, it'd be by far the best thing they've ever done. Even with the national championship in the back pocket, it's harder to do now.
The schedule is just now. This is a really hard schedule. Yes. I don't care what you say. It's a tough schedule. Maybe one of the tougher schedules in the country. If not the toughest, but here's the thing: Kalani Sitake goes 11-1, goes 12-0. All of a sudden, people go, maybe we should talk to him about the USC job.
Uh oh!
And if he goes to the Coliseum and beats USC they'll have that discussion in the middle of the field. They go, hey, could we extend halftime by about 5 minutes?
We're on a Zoom call.
Yeah,
underneath the stadium. Yeah,
before you leave the stadium today, could we just sit down and talk to you for a minute? and the reason being is BYU independent. And really having the restrictions, the honor code restrictions, and the challenges they've had there, early on it did not look good for Kalani Sitake. But I'm telling you, he has just really matured as a coach, big time. He's a great football coach.
I want people, if you missed part of this segment, I want people to go back. And if you ever think to yourself that Scott Mitchell isn't an objective observer of the game of football and is just a BYU hater, would you go back, download this. I'm going to go back and refer you back to this discussion.
I've never been a hater. I'm not thinking.
I know, but people assume that you are.
But my take on everything is I try to look at it objectively. I try to analyze it. The reality is I bet a lot of BYU fans like to listen to what we have to say. Because we're saying things that they probably really believe, but they just don't hear, and they're afraid to say,
or it's over the top, or it's too much. Yeah. I mean, this is a national championship season for BYU, and you're like, yeah. Well, I think we all have the friends who'll say that kind of garbage, and you go, listen, there's a lot of hoops to jump through still.
I may be less objective about Utah.
Yeah, actually. I bet you're tougher.
There's a homerness to it for me with Utah. I mean, it just is. I try to see it super rosy colored eyes, rosy red, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Because they're red. But
well, thanks for pointing that out. Yeah.
I didn't know what direction you're going with that color of the glasses there.
I was going to say crimson. Crimson color.
The crimson color glasses. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. Let's talk Utah Jazz on the way back. Now, take this next segment also with a grain of salt, because there are, all the GMs in the league got together and voted on a bunch of stuff. And you'll have to see where the Jazz shook out when it comes to their odds of being a league champion, of being the best offensive or defensive team, best three-point shooting team, all these things. We're going to talk about it next. Stay with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled.
Hey, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell and Alex Curie here. Alex,
what do you got?
Well, they discovered something in Jerusalem. I didn't know this was a thing.
Hold on a minute. Am I writing this down? Is this from you watching Indiana Jones?
No, but I do watch it. Yeah, I guess you could say.
I love this stuff.
Yes.
What'd they find?
Oh, it's fascinating.
What'd they find?
They found a toilet. 2,700-year-old toilet in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And they said what's fascinating about it is they didn't really exist. Like, if you had a toilet, you were pretty wealthy.
So,
I guess that's why they call it sitting on the crown, you know?
Yeah.
Because I guess you were royal or something. I don't know.
Oh, for sure. That all of the history. Scott, you want a little history? If you go and watch anything on the History Channel and it has to do with bathrooms, rich people always lead the way on the on the commode technology.
Yeah.
So
the Biltmore House estate, which is in Asheville, the Vanderbilts.
Yeah. And it's North. Is it North Carolina?
Asheville, North Carolina.
Yeah, yeah.
So my relatives actually helped construct it.
They built more of
the Biltmore. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's the same thing. It was indoor plumbing that flushed.
What's wild is when you look, Scott.
So
when you go back and you look at the medieval, like the depictions of people in the medieval times, and they're just throwing buckets out their windows, and there are people in the streets below, like, oof, you know what I mean? So,
but apparently this was a smooth.
Okay, I don't know where we're going with this.
Well carved out.
Okay,
it had a hole in it. Everything.
Plumbing.
It was intact.
Yeah.
It was legitimate.
Yeah.
I guess I wouldn't associate a toilet with, like, you know,
Jerusalem
success.
Well,
you know, that's the
because
success
you're
of things.
Scott, it's because you're so used to it. We take for granted every day.
Yeah. I will tell you, having a toilet is one of my treasured.
The Whipple plumbing guy right now is going, I've told him. I told him.
I'm so thankful for a toilet.
Yes, you should be. You should be. Hey, glad we had this talk.
Yeah.
Glad we had this little talk. You said you had something you want to... Hey, I got something I want to bring up when we come back. Okay, perfect.
Oh, I saw this morning, and I just thought that was interesting.
Listen, that's great. I love historical stuff. This I could... Although, any place you ever go, if you go on tours, you've done the, like, European tours, they're always like, look at this toilet.
Could you imagine you had to go through a gauntlet to get to the toilet, you know, and, like, the poison dart, like Indiana Jones,
yes.
You know, the poison darts and all the little booby traps that come up. And
I've been to Jerusalem. I didn't have a toilet tour.
Didn't see that.
No.
Well, it wasn't discovered till like, no.
I know, but, anyway.
It's become the top attraction.
Scott, I want to bring up some Utah Jazz stuff. Are you ready for some?
This is good stuff.
That
like
was
this.
Really good.
No, the Jazz
stuff. Oh, okay. They were talking about that one. So the NBA GMs, I didn't know they do this, but every year apparently they.
So these are people in the know.
Are they, though? Because in my mind, I feel like, I mean, the GMs are, like, head coaches would be top. I guess GMs would be right below the head coaches. Like, they've got to be in the know because they're the ones who are in charge of drafts, things like that. The numbers are there for them. Like, they're not. If it was owners, it'd be further removed.
It's
even.
Not necessarily some biased fan.
Right.
Is what I'm saying.
So the GMs did a vote, and they had a couple things going on here. And so there are a bunch. This GM survey that they do every year, there are a couple things. So first of all, Eastern Conference rankings. The Brooklyn Nets are at the top of this thing. Then the Bucks, then the Heat. Okay. And then the Nets, the 76ers. I mean, they're so far down the list, it's exciting, right? Because they lose Ben Simmons and they're less of a force. But that being said, that's your Eastern Conference. Your Western Conference rankings go like this. The LA Lakers got 80% of the first place votes.
This, so they got most of them.
Right.
Now, the Jazz got the next highest amount of the first place votes, and then they got the highest amount of second place votes. So they are a they have a 26% chance of winning the Western Conference compared to the 34% that the Lakers sit at, which I'm okay with. I'm okay with that. This to me, Scott, is a watershed moment because you have GMs who are not just going to go one-off moment for the Jazz, out. They respect Quinn Snyder. I think all those things
It speaks to where the Jazz are and how they're thought of around the league.
Now, which team will win the 2022 NBA Finals? The Brooklyn Nets were given a 72% chance of winning this thing. Now, here's where you need to question the GM survey and why you should have hope, because they ran away with this thing. The Nets are 72% chance of winning this thing, and the Lakers are 17%. Okay, that's how far down. The Nets are by far the favorite. Last year, the Lakers were in 81% of that GM vote. Do you remember how bad the Lakers were last year? Like, barely got in the playoffs, barely. They were, what, that 8-9 game? They were in that 8-9 game? So this survey, for as much as you like go, oh, I love the respect on this thing, there's a lot of work to do, and they don't know their stuff all the time.
But
it's
don't
not
you
kind of
feel like the Nets and the Lakers are similar type of teams in that they got some marquee names, but they've also got a lot of wear on the tires. You know, these are old teams. I mean, yeah. They are. I mean,
and just having big the names of doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't. And the chemistry issues, all that stuff, it all plays into it. If I'm the Bucks, I'm kind of mad. I'm like
you won the championship.
Shouldn't just by default be the favorite?
Yeah.
And the Jazz really should go, wow, well, like we're getting some respect here. And we really, you know, we get healthy, we may make a serious run at this.
So on the defensive side of things, the Jazz are considered when it comes. So, well, let me give you some MVP totals first. So MVPs, the likelihood of Kevin Durant getting that thing is 37%. If he's healthy, why not? Right? I mean, that's a guy who's going to be a favorite. When you go down the list and you start talking about players who are going to have breakout seasons, things like that. You don't see any Jazz players on that list. There's a kajillion players. The Jazz aren't on that list. You know why? Because they've had the guys who are going to have breakout seasons, right? Who are on that roster. Sixth man of the year last year, Jordan Clarkson. Yeah. Donovan Mitchell is who he is. No one's surprised by Rudy Gobert and Mike Conley.
You
those
know
are your
who
guys.
Who could break out, though?
Who?
Jared Butler.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
I mean, think of Donovan Mitchell as a rookie and, you know, maybe he doesn't have the minutes or he doesn't get the opportunities, but he could develop into a pretty darn good player. Maybe he's that replacement for Mike Conley down the road.
So when you look at the best power forward in the game, the best center in the game, the best all these things, the best center in the NBA, Rudy Gobert is not on that list at all. Okay? It goes Nikola Jokic, fine. MVP last year. Joel Embiid for the 76ers, fine. I mean, the guy is what he is. Giannis, he's on that list. Anthony Davis is then next, right? And so
you can't argue with any of those.
You can't
names.
Argue I mean, with any of those, but at the same time, I just love. Listen, from a personal standpoint, I hope Rudy Gobert reads this dadgum list because his name's nowhere on it, except for when you start talking about some of the defense and things like that. That's when the Jazz start getting respect. Rudy Gobert, by far, the best defensive player in the league. Well, they have right now that Giannis is, but Rudy Gobert is right there. He's up there. And they even think that he's going to still – they still say that Rudy Gobert is going to be the likely defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
He is 77% the best interior defender according to this list. Next is Giannis with 13%, okay? And then the Jazz are the second best defensive team according to this list in the NBA. The Bucks are number one. So all these things add up to the Jazz still getting that respect. I look at it like I said, again, this is – The Jazz had the best regular season schedule with the same guys who are on the roster who are on this who are part of this or not considered on these lists. The Jazz just have a better team than most, Scott. That's the thing. This is a team sport.
What I think is interesting for the Jazz is when you keep all the parts together, how much of a leap do the Jazz make from last year to this year? You look at the Milwaukee, like everyone thought, oh, that team's going to win a championship, and they didn't. And then they kept things together, and they finally figured out how to do it. So what is the leap the Jazz make from last year to this year? Is it a significant leap? Is it just a gradual incline? Because I think it'll be a significant leap. That continuity is going to breed a lot of success and a lot of wins for the Jazz. I think people will be surprised.
Jazz are exactly where I want them to be on this list. Not found in the places that I hope that they get offended by, and found in the places that they know they should be known by. That defense, solid structure there. We'll take the break. We'll come back. NFL Roundup next. Stay with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled. The teams you live for. The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Hey, before we... welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery. Let's dispense of the introductions here, Scott. Before we get into the NFL stuff, into the NFL roundup, I want to get into something else. I just wanted to mention something from that GM survey that I missed. Jazz, by far, home court advantage in the whole league.
Yeah.
The Jazz have the highest home court advantage.
It's significant. It's like 47%.
47% of the GM said they have the best home court advantage.
And the next closest was Denver.
And that place stinks, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I hate that place.
You know how you feel about
it. I mean, we love them. We hate them. Anyway, that's why I wanted to bring that up. And Quinn Snyder, I think you should be just as grateful for Quinn Snyder as a Jazz fan as you should about Donovan Mitchell and about Rudy Gobert. If you had some clown in here who was looking to just climb the ladder of, hey, when can I get to the bigger market, I think we'd be totally disappointed with this team. Yeah. I don't think you'd have nearly the results either.
People have bought in, and they're all invested. They like it here, and they like what's going on.
They probably tell these guys when they come in. I mean, you saw Hassan Whiteside was, like, scared.
Yeah.
He was, like, scared of Quinn before he came. He's like, I thought he was, like, a mean guy. Like, he's a chill dude. You always see him on the sidelines. You're like, hey, man, take it easy. You're up by 30. And I think he realized, oh, yeah, it's not always what it seems. People can think it's mean here, that the practices are long, whatever they want. Whatever they want to think. We'll take all the guys that actually just want to get in here and win. That's what I'm saying. All right. Scott, it's that time of the night. I'm going to hit the old button here, and then we're getting the NFL Roundup.
KSL's Unrivaled. The Unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium Grade A pro football stories from your two hosts, a former NFL quarterback and the other guy. It's the Unrivaled NFL Roundup.
All right. It's now turned into day three of Urban Watch. It's like a bad soap opera.
Somebody said,
what do you think's trashier?
Somebody said, what's the most well-known urban legend in Utah?
It's and this so, guy.
Someone goes, I think Urban Meyer's been in the news a lot lately.
Yep, that's your urban. That was funny. And it's not urban legends. This is full-on urban reality. And it's turned into that the viral video of him, Scott, how do we put this, grind dancing? It sounds like something that like your like youth leadership person was like, yeah, you don't grind with the young women, right? So that Urban Meyer was doing something that would have gotten him in trouble as a 16-year-old, all right, at a dance.
He was kind of acting like a 16-year-old.
He was. Yeah. And you know what he's still doing? Acting like a 16-year-old with the excuses. Right, yeah. I should have left when I had the chance, you know. But I took total responsibility for it. And you're like, really? So Urban's now the next thing that the Urban Meyer thing. It just is not going away, and I wonder if there's gotten now to be a point where it has ramped up the virility of the this viral video, and just how much attention it's gotten when it moves into the mainstream like it has. It's not just like, hey, football talking about it. It's everybody. It's Good Morning America. It becomes just a topic. It becomes part of that like normal news zeitgeist.
Yeah.
And that's when guys lose their jobs. I know you've been the guy who's been on the conspiracy theory side of it. Like, oh, he's planning all this out. Urban Meyer does whatever he wants. He'll either stay if he wants to, or he'll go and be the USC head coach.
Well, I think it's either someone's really mad at him from one of the places he's been, and it's vindictive because this stuff just doesn't get out for no reason, or he is trying to maneuver his way out of you know how maneuvering he was.
Oh yeah.
maneuvering his way out of the whole situation in Jacksonville, or maybe it's just his ego. Maybe he's just like, look, I'm in Jacksonville. It's kind of there's no story here, right? People are already forgetting about us. They expected this to happen. No one really wants to talk to us anymore. So let's manufacture some, you know, any news is good news kind of thing.
Right.
Any kind of way I can draw attention to the program, I'm going to do it. And of course, this is in a big way. I don't know. I'm being a little facetious with it, but I'm not. And I think if, as long as you can have the narrative go your way, that's what's going to happen. If Urban Meyer is doing this to get out of Jacksonville, people are like, well, that's the stupidest thing in the world. Because why would you risk your reputation on something like this? And I think people already have this reputation of Urban Meyer. I don't think he's this guy that has a squeaky clean. I think Nick Saban's a guy that maybe you don't like, and he's a tough coach, and he's kind of an idiot. But I don't think people think of Nick Saban as a guy that has a, you know, maybe a questionable type of character,
yeah, sure,
type of thing. So Urban Meyer doesn't care. The reality is, like Tiger Woods, people, you know, they want to vilify him, and they'll vilify him, but guess what they're going to do down the road? They're going to forgive him. And I think Urban Meyer knows this, and the redemption story will happen with Urban Meyer down the road. He'll be contrite. He'll have some kind of drama. He lost his job at Jacksonville. Now he's the head coach at USC, and they're winning national championships, and he's a changed individual, and it's the story of redemption, and that's what everybody loves.
I wonder what you know.
You know, they have teams that market these coaches and personalities. These I'm not saying it necessarily happening here. It could, but they manipulate the story. They get the story out, and the people that get to publish the story go, yeah, we'll do this. We'll work with you on this, because they know it's a big deal to them to break the story.
I think that there's also, an element of Urban Meyer. Like, think about, I mean, this happened with the Ryan Day thing, right?
Yeah.
Where it was something that rarely for him was out of his control. And everybody knew that him saying, I didn't know if it was going on, everyone went bull, right? Yeah. And in this case, the thing that's different about that case was,
maybe Urban was at the restaurant.
Well, there's the part. There's,
maybe that's how he didn't know he was at the restaurant.
That's the part. That's the thing. Yes. He was dancing. He's on the dance floor. What happened? Oh, I didn't know about it. I was at my own restaurant. But part of the deal is that in this case, too, he's not the one that can hide behind and go, I wasn't aware of what somebody on my staff was doing.
Right.
It's, hey, man, you're on video, and your hands are where they should not be, and your wife was at home babysitting your grandkids. And then, so when they do the whole – and when the Jags – have to come out and give like two statements on what they expect out of this guy. It's insane.
You know how stupid Urban Meyer is? I'm going to tell you how stupid he is.
How stupid is Urban Meyer?
let me tell you. I guarantee you that he has team meetings and he sits and talks to his players and he says, everybody has a camera. You're always on camera. It's always going to be around. No matter what situation you're in, a camera is going to be there. So whatever you do, because you know he has to have these conversations with his players. Don't do anything stupid, because it'll get out. And Urban Meyer, you're shaking your head, going, "What are you thinking?" Because you've probably given this speech to your players 1,000 times, and you know there's always a camera, and that camera is. So damaging, because it puts out an image, and it doesn't give context to what's actually happening. What did they just? There's an image, and you see it, and you just go, and it looks really bad, and you can't take it away. You can't unsee it. You can't talk it away. It's just there for everybody to see, and it's so damaging. And for Urban Meyer, for 2 seconds to think. It's just an absolute idiotic thing for him to do.
I just,
absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, I you know, as you know, I even told myself today, Scott, as I was like, dude, I am,
I'm not going to talk as much. I'm not going to talk about Urban Meyer as much today. But you know what? It's just it keeps me. More videos are coming out. More angles of this incident on the dance floor came out, and it's not good. Trevor Lawrence, by the way, his quarterback, says he still respects the head coach, regardless of what ends up happening with Urban Meyer.
Well, he does because they've all done it. We've all done something stupid.
Yes.
If someone followed you around with a camera, Alex, like
they wouldn't see me doing this.
No,
they would not see me doing this.
You'd end up on TMZ.
Yeah, they'd be like.
I mean, everyone has their moments. Let's just face it. If you were, I'm not saying everyone's like Urban Meyer. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying
I didn't let a lady in out of the Costco parking lot today. Into the line, she wanted in. She's like, "Let me in." I said, "No."
That's a Utah thing.
No, well, she just was pushing herself out there. I wasn't going to let it happen.
Like I said, it's a Utah thing. I don't want to talk about my driving.
Yeah, I know.
My driving.
All right, we've got a little bit more to go here. 2 minute drills next. Stay with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
All right, sports fans, welcome back. KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery. If you're just tuning in or you missed some of the show or part of it, don't worry. You can download the KSL Sports app, and then you get our show anytime you want. You can listen to every single word, and I know the words are riveting. You don't want to miss them.
They are riveting, Scott. I wanted you to keep going. I thought you were,
you were
going to read something.
That was kind of about
more
it.
Jerusalem toilet news. None of that.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
It's a smooth surface that's been carved intricately.
I think it's funny that
it's nice that it's not a rough surface.
Look, 2,000 years ago,
go on a toilet.
Look, I get 2,000 years ago,
2,700
years ago. But I would hope that they would make it smooth, even 2,700 years ago. All right.
Right. You would think so. Wonder if it was a Kohler. If it was a Kohler.
That was the
was
brand.
That the brand?
Yeah, I wonder if they sold it by being like, look how many of these tennis balls you can. What's a tennis ball? I'm sorry. Golf balls. Oh, that's a golf ball. Oh, jeez. Get with the times.
How about
Phil?
A stone that, like, one of these David stones you used on
you
Goliath?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Scott, we've got that last part of the show here. You know what we do at the end of the show?
I do. Yes,
I do this. I play this for you. And then you tell me what's going on there. What's going on?
Okie dokie. Well, late in the football game, you're going to field kick, field goal, score a touchdown. Don't have a lot of time, so you hurry our show the same way. Still got a lot to talk about, not a lot of time, so we hurry up and talk a little bit about a lot of things. Hurry up, finish the show, get a trophy, because everyone gets a trophy. We go home happy with two COVID shots and a plethora. It's a plethora, of desserts. Which includes not pumpkin pie, even if it does have a lot of whipped cream. We do like cheesecake and we like peanut butter bars. But we don't like them now. They're not allowed.
Yeah, you can't eat them now.
No.
What's funny is that people are like, we're going to... And you can look around for low-carb things and keto things.
Yeah.
When somebody goes, I've got a keto peanut butter chocolate pie, I'm like, liar.
Yes. It doesn't exist. It's just
right
like the unicorn.
And right now people are going, oh, no, my mother-in-law's got a keto peanut butter chocolate pie recipe. And you're like, get out of here. They're like, it's not chocolate, though. It's cauliflower that looks like chocolate, you know?
They've spray-painted the cauliflower.
I love that. Oh, yeah. If it's real keto... No, but it's like chocolate. See, instead of chocolate, though, and peanut butter, it's cauliflower and broccoli, and you steam it.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Throwing a little stevia.
Stevia. All right. First up here, Scott. Juju Smith-Schuster apparently, getting on the good side of the social media side of things, paid for a woman's groceries after she couldn't find her debit card. If there was a professional athlete standing behind me in a line, I wouldn't find my wallet all day. And I'd have my phone out and go, hey, it's Donovan Mitchell. Donovan, I forgot my wallet. You know?
What are you going to do about it?
I love these stories because if I was a professional athlete, I would do this all the time.
Have you ever done that?
No.
Is it fair?
I mean, I've done the...
I've paid for someone's
stuff.
Convenience store?
Yeah, the line in front of you. But I'm not paying
for a basket
of groceries.
Wow.
That's amazing.
It is pretty cool.
So it makes me like these guys more.
But you know why he did it, don't you?
To have us talking about it on sports.
No, he's tired of waiting in line. He's like, let me just get this for you, lady, so you can leave.
She got her checkbook out, and he goes, No.
She's like, I'll run outside and get it right now. I'll run home really quickly. Right. And so everyone's.
It wasn't that she had forgotten her debit card. She'd never heard of a debit card.
Yes. A debit card?
What? I've got my checkbook. Scott, apparently, Christian McCaffrey's brother threw a clipboard during a game. Now, he's a coach for Northern Colorado, which is just, I think they play Weber. Yeah, they're in the same deal. And his brother threw a clipboard at a football game, hit a fan in the stands. I don't know why we're attaching this to Christian McCaffrey. Just say that it was a Northern Colorado, coach.
Yeah.
You don't need to say Christian McCaffrey's brother. Christian McCaffrey didn't do anything, all right, man? So when you do stories like this, unless he's paying for groceries for somebody, I don't want to hear Christian McCaffrey get brought up in a,
I'm just trying to figure out how the clipboard ended up in the stands.
So last year at one of my kids' games, this is terrible, a coach threw a clipboard. The papers went everywhere. No, it didn't hit anybody. But the papers went everywhere, and he stormed off, right? Over an argument with the coaching staff. Oh, their own coaching staff, right? The ref throws a flag on him for throwing the clipboard while he was arguing with the same coaching staff. So it wasn't like back and forth with the ref or anything. So to add insult to injury, this guy got a flag.
Bad sportsmanship.
For just bad sportsmanship.
Yeah, but how does the clipboard end up in the stands?
Yeah, hit a guy.
I mean, because they're not close.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're a fan, wouldn't you see the clipboard coming?
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, it's not like a baseball in a foul ball kind of thing.
Coach Max McCaffrey tossed a souvenir. Well, souvenir, yeah, sure.
Does he get to keep the clipboard?
Well, here's the thing. Now you got the playbook.
Right.
Or whatever it is that he has written on the stage. Into the stands. It showed poor judgment, according to the athletic director of the school. Urban Meyer chimes in and goes, that's the kind of poor judgment I wish I would have had, just throwing a clipboard. Anyway, he says this. After paying McCaffrey and the team a visit, the athletic director said, I'm confident we'll have no more engagements with fans of our opponents.
Also, maybe he got mad at the fan.
Threw the clipboard on purpose.
At the fan in the stands.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't like on the sideline. He was like going into the locker room or something.
Yep.
And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there you
that
go.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Can't do it. Can't do it. Next up, Scott, in the old 2-minute drill. And look, I'm again. I get frustrated at games, but I would never, not to this point. I don't get when people get that fired up. Tom Brady apparently loves to beat the New York Giants more than anybody. Any guess why, Scott? This is according to him, because of the two Super Bowl losses.
Pretty obvious.
I think it's amazing that he's still. I mean, not in your division. Not in your conference. Like, you don't play him that often.
He won 7 Super Bowls. It's not like, you know.
But this is the insanity of
people
like Tom Brady.
It's kind of the way he's lost them, too. And it's, that's a hard way to lose.
Well, listen, Tom Brady lucked into one of those Super Bowl wins against the Seahawks. That Malcolm Butler interception should have never happened, and he lucked into one of the Super Bowl wins.
Well, of course it should have happened. They did a lot of scouting on, and they said they like to run this play.
Tom Brady was on the sidelines basically crying himself to sleep, and then when he saw that happen. So I'm just saying, I don't know. The Seahawks don't hate Tom Brady as much as he hates the Giants, is what I'm saying. So, yeah.
Well, the Seahawks are just better people.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no. And a guy without
guys. No, but it's a thing. There's certain teams that just.
Who did you hate playing the most?
Honestly?
Always.
I hated playing the Green Bay Packers. I did not like.
But you, like, respected them, too, at the same time.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't.
No, okay. Heck no. No, I was just like, I think it was because they were the, you know, the team or whatever.
Not or whatever. They were the team. Yeah. They were the ones to beat. They had Brett Favre, just this aw shucks.
Yeah, that just.
Throw 4 touchdowns, but also 3 interceptions in the same game. And
nuts.
No one remembered the interceptions. All right.
Scott, I was lucky I didn't lose my job.
Do you have fun tonight?
No, I hate it.
Come on,
every
man.
Minute of it, and I think I need to come back.
Hey,
I need a redemption story.
Tomorrow we're going to be at the Megaplex Theater the Gateway for our.
They're going to give us keto popcorn?
General RV Tour de France. Yeah, you know what it is? It's just a steak in a popcorn box. So there you go. For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. We will be at the Gateway Megaplex Theater tomorrow for the Tour de France brought to you by General RV. So come hang out with us there. For Scott, I'm Alex. See you then, everybody.
Jeez. two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.